Gang, tired of being locked down under quarantine? Tired of trying to get your band together to rehearse outside? Tired of trying to get your band to rehearse in your home? It's getting crazy. You might be too loud for all that stuff. Well, guess what, gang? Space Rehearsal and Recording has reopened safely. You wear a mask, you bring your own microphone, 31 spacious rooms, plenty of parking. Space is a great place to get all of your work done. Find them at spaceatx.com or call them at 512-448-9518. That's Space Rehearsal and Recording. Start rehearsing again. Do it.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here?
Alright, hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a good week. I hope that you're able to stay busy. I hope people are able to get back to work and start doing some things, and you're also staying safe, and maybe you're staying sane, keeping it together, maybe being able to get together with some other people and exchange energy and ideas, not just people's news feeds on social media, getting mad at each other for saying different things. We're living amongst in a multitude of crises all at once. Global health crisis, climate crisis, financial crisis, societal unrest. Oregon and California literally on fire. God, I hope my friends out there, if you're listening from Oregon or California, my prayers and thoughts are with you. Stay safe out there. It's going crazy out there. So all I'm saying to you guys is I hope you're staying sane. I hope you're connecting with loved ones and people you care about, talking your way through it, bitching when you have to. Someone out there will listen. It's good to have someone to listen, you know? You need someone to listen to you in this time. So in this time, I'm still bringing out shows. People are still putting out records. People are still doing stuff, you know? And they've got to promote it. So today, I have a great show for you guys today. Eddie Bunn and Tim Noyes from the band Handsome Ghost from Massachusetts are my guests on the show today. They have a brand new record that just dropped today called Some Still Mourning. This band is incredible. If you like Nick Drake, Elliott Smith, Granddaddy, that kind of band, these guys are mellow. They're amazing. We have a fantastic conversation about how they met, how they got together musically, and just sort of like where they found this level of dreaminess in their music, man. Like their songs, when I got the email from their publicist, I had, I tell them the story, but I was a little bit altered in a way that when you hear music, you're like, oh yeah. And when I heard this band, I freaked out. Like the level of vibe in their songs are beautiful, incredible. They're very still. They're very quiet. But they're fucking gorgeous, gorgeous. And this record, Some Still Mourning, is absolutely fantastic. You can get out and see this video for their song, Vampires. It's a great, great video. Beautiful LGBT love story. Yeah, so without further ado, I hope you guys have a great weekend, and I hope you enjoy my conversation with Eddie and Tim from Boston, Massachusetts duo Handsome Ghost.
If you wake up someday soon in a great big house in a new bedroom, if you get to thinking about the passing of time, circumstances.
Oh, is it just blank?
It just says Eddie.
Oh.
Huh. guys, welcome to the show. You're in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us. We're excited.
Oh yeah. It's great to have you guys on. I got an email from your publicist, and I'm not gonna lie, I'm gonna be straight up honest. I had gotten high. And then I listened to your music and I was like I think I wrote back like yes in all capital letters with like 15 exclamation points, like yes. I want to meet these people that make this magical music. What an amazing, like, I love it. I got to find a way to even start with this. Your new record drops in September, Some Still Mourning, and this is like your second full-length record?
That's right. Number two.
Okay. And Tim, do you write the songs yourself?
I do. I write the lyrics and the melodies, like the kind of bare bones, the acoustic guitar scratch, you know, kind of the basics, and then we kind of build up the songs together as a band.
Yeah. Eddie, what all do you play?
I started with violin when I was very young, and then played bass and guitar, and then just kind of picked up other things here and there as I got more into doing music full time. So
are you a studio guy? Like, are you like a guy, an engineer guy and stuff?
We do record ourselves and self-produce, but I wouldn't call myself a studio guy. I don't have that like expertise. We just kind of try to make do with what we've got and the space that we've got. So
you guys record those records yourselves?
Yeah, we do it in our little apartment or little space that we've got in there.
That's amazing.
We call it a home studio, but it's like home studio is generous. Yeah.
So how I love music by like Nick Drake, by Elliott Smith, and like there's something about you guys that reminds of Granddaddy.
Mm.
Do you guys Granddaddy fans?
Yeah, I am. I, Elliott Smith is probably just like, that's such an enormous compliment just hearing that. Like that he's probably my favorite songwriter of all time. So that's like, I'm stuck on that. Just hearing that is amazing.
Thanks, man. Well, it's that feeling is there. It's not like you know what I mean? Like there's this quiet to the execution of what you do that seems so difficult to maintain. You know what I mean? Without getting loud. Same thing with Nick Drake. Like, how did he stay so mellow through the whole song? You know what I mean? And it's an amazing feat, and it sets a mood. But sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I feel like it's I don't know how far back into our catalog you dove, but it was hard for this record to kind of show that restraint, because you know, naturally, like when you're producing out a song, you want it to have kind of like a story arc. So start off, introduce it, and then
dynamic
have it grow to a climax.
Right.
Yeah, just dynamically, and it's really not easy, but it's I guess a simpler choice to kind of have that just play out naturally. So like, let's get really big here and this is the climax. So let's let the music be really big and loud. But
right.
For this record, we really tried to not do that and be a little bit more delicate and purposeful and subtle. And I'm glad that at least translated to you.
No, it really did. It there's such a vibe to your music too, like a thing that is, I think, is hard to achieve, especially in the world of home recording. Well, I guess maybe that's not true, but it seems like now people are it's so easy to whittle something into what you think is perfection as opposed to just catching a vibe. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I feel like we kind of briefly struggled with that at the beginning of making this record, where we were trying to like, I'm going to use the word perfect, but I don't really know what the term would be, but we were really just like kind of overthinking everything. I think what we ended up feeling good about was just kind of, yeah, like diving in and just kind of following our instinct, and just kind of letting it happen.
Using the force, so to speak.
Yeah, using the force.
Exactly. Letting go and using the force, just like Obi-Wan told us to. No, I mean, it's really an unbelievable, I don't know. I love your music and I think it's incredible. Let me get to this. How did you guys meet? Tim, you started the band as like a solo project in 2014?
Yeah, it was a solo project at first. And Eddie and I had known each other for a few years prior to that. We actually played in another band before Handsome Ghost. And that was more of like a kind of folk rock band or like a traditional folk band. I think we were searching for a bass player at the time. And Eddie was referred to us by one of our band members and just kind of hit it off. And I think when Handsome Ghost became a real thing, we were still friends, but I think just picking up where we left off and being bandmates again just kind of felt natural.
You guys tour a lot normally, right?
Yeah, we do. So this album took like I think way longer than we expected it. Maybe like a year longer than we expected it to take. We got started maybe in the summer of 2018. And to that point, we had toured just like kind of nonstop. But with this record, we decided to kind of take a step back and really try to work it and finish it off. And then, so we were gearing up to hit the road again, cause it's something that's really important to us and that we miss a lot. And you know, the timing just wasn't right with the pandemic and the unfortunate situation we're in with that. But, hopefully it all passes when we get back on the road soon.
Yeah. That's the general feeling with all, I'm a musician as well. And yeah, it's that feeling of like, oh shit. When you tour, is it just the two of you guys?
It kind of depends on the tour. I think our last tour, which would have been the end of 2019, it was just the two of us. I think the band's been as big as, four people, usually like a trio. But it has been just strange to have been off the road for so long at this point. It's odd when you're just used to it. You know?
What do you guys do? Like, do you get together and play, or do you? Is there any outlet for you guys?
Yeah, we've been doing the live streaming here and there, and I mean, honestly, it's just such a unique time, as you know.
Unique so is a very, kinda... very gentle way to describe this time.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know, sometimes I feel motivated to play music. Sometimes it's just like, you know, not at the top of my mind. But it's getting to the point now where I'm ready. You know, I'm sure you know as a musician, like you record music and you plan on playing it out and you think a lot about what that would look like. So it's almost like an itch you can't scratch. So hopefully we get to that point with this record.
Right. Do you guys tour the whole states when you tour and do you tour Europe and stuff too?
We've done the states quite a few times now. I feel like we know our highways, our rest stop, back of our hand. We haven't done Europe, and that was one super bummer because we had our first European tour book, which we were very excited about. And obviously, you know, that's we're going to have to figure that out down the line. But we unfortunately have not had the opportunity yet. But that's been a dream for a long time, so I'm hoping that we can reschedule.
Yeah. I was curious when I was listening to the stuff, and I was listening to the new record and thinking, like, this is a difficult thing, and maybe I have songs that have a certain dynamic to it, but I play in bars mostly, and I can't execute a certain level of quiet song in a band in a bar. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, when I listen to this record, it has to be in some kind of weird listening room or a theater of some sort where you, like, being quiet is what you do as an audience member.
Right. I think, I think imagining what it would have looked like live was exciting while it lasted. Because I do think we're, you know, we've got this great drummer named Austin Perez that we play with. It's just looking forward to see what he was going to bring to the table and what we could do to kind of, like, bring some more dynamics to the show. But, you know, I think Tim is just a really compelling singer when it's just him with the guitar, too. He's one of those unique people where it's just like I could sit and listen to him play and watch him play. So it's a good baseline to build off of. It kind of makes it easier. Yeah, I totally get what you mean of, like, sometimes trying to play the quiet stuff is like, shut up.
There's a delicacy I feel that doesn't cut through in a bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I feel like Tim is able to kind of manage that in a unique way. So it's always fun to see that.
I appreciate that, Addy. I feel like we've done, I know exactly what you mean. Like, it really, we've been lucky enough to have been a band for a while now. So we've played just about any kind of venue. Like, we've just played so many bars and clubs. And we played theaters and I think we played a pool party one time. but I do know what you mean. We were like, it is great and you can cut through, but I think we've also, like, yeah, sometimes it's just like, ooh, this is not resonating. Like, if it's a big party night, you know, and you're trying to play, like, very quiet, soft songs, sometimes that doesn't, you know, that can be, you just never know. But I think when we're at our best, we can kind of make it work regardless of what the you know, what the energy is. But yeah. I totally agree with you.
Yeah. Where do you play here in Austin? Have you played here, right?
In Austin.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Addy. Sorry.
We've done Stubbs, which we love, obviously.
Yeah.
Sidewinder and where was that? Yeah, I need to think.
What
Tim's
the hell
probably
is
better.
Sidewinder.
What's it called? Sidewinder?
Sidewinder is like an outdoor, there's like a stage and like kind of like a big backyard.
Okay.
It's like right on, I think it's on, is it Red River?
Yep.
That was a cool.
I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. Very fun, like good energy. And what was the last venue we did? Antone's.
Oh, yeah. That's a great place.
That was cool. That was very cool.
Were you guys on tour with someone there?
At Antone's, we were out with a band called Simmel, which is just a great band, good people. But it was kind of like more of a listening room atmosphere, so that was very nice.
Yeah.
I mean, the outdoor, like, party night's fun too, but that was cool.
Yeah.
Great city.
So you guys have this video out, Vampires, that has gotten a lot of notoriety, both because it's two women falling in love, but it's not like some kind of, it's just very tender and romantic and normal feeling. You know what I mean? But there is this amazing thing that I did pick up on. Is that there's this whoever directed the video, I don't know how much you guys had to do with the direction and stuff, but there's a romantic passion traditionally at the beginning of romantic passion. There's like a recklessness. You know what I mean? Like you just don't, you don't care. Like this is the only thing literally that matters right now. Is this, is this person and me being in this connected situation and whatever exhilarating rush comes with it. But there is a certain like recklessness, like the, you know, skating past the van, like, you know, go ahead, bite me. You know, I'll be a vampire forever. I'm just so in this moment right now that I don't care if I, you know, if I live forever as a vampire, as long as this lasts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
How? I think, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say that. So we've got my brother, Nick, is a filmmaker, and he has been working with us now forever on all of our music videos for the most part, with a few exceptions. But he is like such an important member of the team. He's basically in the band. but he has these ideas, and when I feel like whenever he pitches them initially, we're like, what is that going to look like? And then, you know, we have our contributions too, but eventually we kind of get where his head was at. And I feel like Vampires, that video in particular, we were like, what do you want to do here? And then the final product, I just feel like it fits the song so well. And I just, the feel is so, I love it. I thought he did a great job.
I bet you, does your brother make movies?
He does. He, not full length, but he'll do shorts. He's really more of like, he's an editor by trade and a filmmaker, kind of balancing the two. But he does like music videos kind of left and right. He's worked with a ton of bands, but we're just lucky because he has to make our videos because we're related.
right. Well, you're lucky. It's just amazing to have those. It's beautifully shot. The story is engaging, warming, and it's really well done.
And I think part of it was just, he just chose the perfect couple to feature for this. Miet and Lily are just like, Nick did a really good job of kind of like letting them do their thing and just capturing it. So he had kind of like ideas for different scenes that they could potentially do, but he's just really good at directing and getting what he needs. And Tim and I were just basically on the side holding lights and helping where we could and
getting snacks.
It must be relieving though, not being in a video.
Oh, it's the best.
Yeah. I think that's it. But I also, there was a video, is it Sunday Best, that's just you two sitting there playing?
The acoustic. That also filmed by Nick, but that was live from, we've got a little cabin up in Maine, and we went out into the very frozen lake and played. And I think we kind of did that around like somewhere. We were making another video and we just kind of like had a little free time. So we were like, let's just go do this. But that was cool too.
Yeah, that's gorgeous, man. And you guys sound so great together. Your harmony blend and your voices are beautiful together.
Thanks. Like,
yeah.
Thanks. We're also best friends, so it's easy.
See, that helps, doesn't it?
Yeah.
When you, did you start singing together and it sounded like that? Or like Eddie, did you have to adjust anything you do?
Actually, this is bringing back a memory that I had forgotten a long time ago. When we first started touring, like before our first tour, it was kind of like we're planning for it to be just the two of us. So Tim, back at the time we were living in Somerville outside of Boston, he would just like come over and teach me how to sing. My voice is not very good, so it's a work of magic on his part to get it to sit underneath his voice.
No, I mean, I feel like that's just come with time. Like, you got a good voice, come on. But I do think if you're not used to singing, especially live, it just takes time. So I feel like it's been now years of singing together. I feel like you've come a long way, Eddie, and I think we're just so much more comfortable singing together. When we were kind of doing those initial harmony sessions, like I had been singing for like 10 years. So it's like, it's not a fair comparison, you know?
No, and it's interesting because the harmonies that you do sing are, you said you're singing beneath them. Usually they are lower.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of that, like to your point, Tim, is that we just have been doing these types of things for a long time. Like the folk band was pretty acoustic. And so when you listen back and hear your voice popping out, it's like, oh shit, I got to knock off those unnecessary inflections. And, you know, you do learn how to kind of like sing as a backup singer.
Yeah.
And just kind of support what Tim's got going on.
Tim, are you a good backup singer?
I like to think that I am. I don't actually know. I like to do like on the very rough demos, I'll do like, you know, harmonies and whatnot.
Uh-huh.
But I do think Eddie's point is a good one. Like it's a different beast when you're not, if you're singing harmonies, you're there to support the lead and add like a texture or a movement. So you're really not, you know, you should hear the voice, but it shouldn't be like overpowering.
Right.
I don't know.
An example of that to me is like, you guys fans of Matthew Sweet?
Yeah.
You know, he's got a record called Girlfriend, but he sings all the backing vocals. And it does, like, after a little while, you're like, all right, dude. That's one guy singing like 18 parts or whatever.
That's a really funny, like, that's a good point. And I do think if you, like, that can be really nice. Like, for Elliott Smith, for example, I love when he sings. Sure. His own backup parts. But if you've got like a really like nice blend and it's clearly two distinct voices, that can be just way more powerful. That's a really interesting point.
Yeah. One kind of, I don't know how much this is just kind of an aside, but one thing that we did a lot less so for this record, but we've done like super heavy auto-tune in the backup vocals. Just because if the pitch is straight on for the backup vocals, it almost kind of blends in with the rest of the instrument. So it's like, it adds that something, but it's not necessarily like there are two voices here, if that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah, just kind of like playing with, you know, the different role each piece plays within a composition and vocals kind of making that into an instrument, basically, at yeah. times, I think is fun.
I read this. I didn't really read the whole thing. I skimmed it, but I looked at the pictures that you guys, one of you guys, which one of you guys had the Canon AE one? Wasn't that what it was?
We share that one.
Oh, you
yeah.
share it?
Yeah. Love that little thing.
How do you, it's weird using film now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any editing? Because when I was looking at those pictures, I was wondering myself, I wonder if they put any filters on it or if I haven't seen film in so long that it looks like an effect.
I think a lot of those were just straight as they were. We might have like kind of messed with the saturation a little bit after scanning, but for the most part, yeah. Like, it's just the weird brightness of certain colors that comes with
Dude, I don't know what's going on over there, but one of you guys is in some serious trouble.
Yeah, it's the stoplight here with the cop car. Just reminding us that they're still here.
Hey, man, I'm going to leave Tim to finish this podcast. I'll talk to you later, Johnny. Okay, guys, I'm coming. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Do you do a lot of double vocaling, Tim?
Yeah, I do. I've gone back and forth. For this record, I was really, I liked the way that it was sounding for these kind of songs. And I think, if it's done well, I feel like it can just add a little bit of emotion. I feel like if it's done poorly, it can kind of take away, because it sounds like you said, two of the same voices. But I think from the very beginning, when I was doing the rough demos, I was like, I feel like this fits for this sound.
Right.
So we kind of committed to it. I mean, it's a real pain to be like, all right, we got the vocal take. Now let's go back and do it again. but yeah, I feel like it fits. I think it's, I'm into it.
I never got to meet Elliott Smith, but I always wanted to ask him, because I remember before I heard him, I was a big four-track guy. I'm like 51. So I like came up as a four-track guy. And the thing is, like, when you're a four-track guy, you don't know that you can have a compressor and that's what makes these people's voices sound great. So you do like doubled vocals so that it comes through a little bit and it smooths everything out for some reason. And I always wondered if his sound, because he did so much four-track, if his sound came from that necessity of having your voice come through, or if he actually realized what he was doing, because it's an amazing sound.
That's a really good question. I thought about that too, and I'm like an Elliott Smith nut, so I've read all the books and watched the documentaries and whatnot.
I'm in that documentary.
Are you really?
Yeah, at the end, there's people singing at one of those celebrations, and I'm wearing a brown coat. And an orange shirt.
The Heaven Can Wait documentary?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Awesome. Where was that?
Here in Austin at the Scottish Rite Theater. Actually, I have this really neato thing I'm going to show you guys. Can you see that set list behind me on the wall?
Yeah. Right. Got it.
That was his, like his that was in front of him at the Figure Eight show here.
Whoa.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, my old tour manager got it for me somehow.
That is amazing.
Yeah. Awesome, dude.
That's
I got to see him. I never saw him live until that tour. I saw him like three or four times. Like he did South by Southwest a couple shows, and
okay.
I saw him here and somewhere else too. Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever see him?
I never got to see him. He passed away like just as I was really kind of just starting to go to shows. And I didn't find his music until, I was a little late to the game, but I actually remember, this is a tangent, I apologize, but.
No, go ahead.
I ran track in college, and we were out for a long run, and one of my teammates were running, and he was crying. And I was like, is everything all right? And he was like, Elliott Smith died. I was like, who's Elliott Smith? And it was just like, it's just once I discovered him, I was like, oh my God. He just was still like kind of under the radar for like, kid in high school. Or
sure.
But once I finally found him, it was like, oh my, this is absolutely incredible. What was I saying? Oh, the fact that he didn't play, that he doubled his guitar and vocals, like, just by ear. No click.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's so simple now, and to think about, like, I do think that adds so much to his recordings, because there's just, like, little discrepancies between the two takes.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, it almost gives it like this faint slapback, but not like a Elvis,
Right.
Like a Sun Records kind of slapback. But it does give it, there's some kind of weird delay slapback thing happening.
That's really good stuff.
Yeah, it is great stuff.
He's also just like, I like it when the voices are distinct in his recordings, because like he's so sad. And to get two of him sad in different ways is like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, it's really sad. Let me ask you this: Tim, you were saying that you played in. Did you play in college, or?
I played a little in college. I was pretty late I was pretty late to the game. I didn't start like I didn't learn how to play guitar until I think freshman year of college. So I would have been like 17 or 18. But I learned how to play, and I played a handful of times in college, and then it wasn't until I graduated that I started to like kind of push myself to get out there and play in front of people. The occasional like coffee house night or something like that.
What were you going to school for?
I went to school for, and I recommend this because it's a fantastic, useful, practical major. But I studied philosophy.
That was my mom's degree. Genius.
I mean, I don't regret it. I think it just helped me become a good, you know, understand how to write and make an argument, but.
And reason. I don't think anybody that takes philosophy regrets it. It's their dads that do.
Yeah.
My cousin did undergrad philosophy and is a doctor now. She's an OBGYN. She went to medical school afterwards. Yeah, so, you know.
I mean, that's a good way to do it. I feel like my dad didn't quite know what philosophy was, so he was like, is that some kind of, like, economics class?
What were you going to do? Like, what were you going to do with your, were you going to teach? That's kind of a philosophy degree thing.
I went into teaching right after school. I don't know if I ever intended on being a professor, but I was a high school teacher.
Oh, cool.
So that was the path I was on until we started doing, music.
What did you teach in high school?
I taught English and English as a second language.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What about you, Eddie? What was your, how did music come into your life?
I always grew up around music and I always loved it. I grew up on classical. Like that's what my family listened to, my parents listened to, and I played violin growing up. It was basically like classical, the Beatles, ABBA, and 80s Korean pop, which is very similar to the music you hear coming out of North Korea. So it's like very, they're stuck in time. But so I was playing classical music until high school when a friend was in a emo band and made me join and learn bass for it. And since then, it's been rock music, folk music, and kind of getting into all the different styles. But I went to college for engineering, for
audio
like
engineering,
math and science.
Oh,
stuff.
Math and science engineering.
Yeah, ooh. I did systems engineering, and I took that degree, and the day after I graduated, joined Tim on tour for music.
Put that degree right to work, man.
Yeah, it must have been a roller coaster for my parents. Like, oh yeah, engineering. Oh shit.
are you Korean?
Yeah, that's right.
Are you first generation American?
Yes, or? I am.
So your parents.
I feel like people define that differently. My parents came from Korea, and I was born here.
So you'd be the first generation American.
Yeah, some people call them first generation.
So is there some kind of like family tradition or like emphasis on education that doesn't allow? You know what I mean? Like I'm Cuban. I'm first generation. My parents were both born in Cuba, mm-hmm. and like. Mm-hmm. My grandpa, my dad would just laugh when I was like, no, I'm going to be a musician. Like, what are you going to sing in the street? What's wrong with you? You know, that gets that kind of attitude. Yeah. It's not like the American, like, supportive of, oh, live your dream, son. It was like, you're an idiot. What's wrong with you? Like, I grew up with that kind of vibe.
Mm-hmm. I hear that. My parents actually are very, very supportive. I think growing up, they're very much like academics is the most important thing. Focus on that.
Right.
But at some point, they were just like, we've raised you enough. Like, we trust your decisions, support you, whatever you decide to do. So in that way, like, you know, it's been, I've had a lot of support, which I feel like is unique for, you know, just anybody.
Yeah.
But especially for immigrants to kind of, you know, come here and then, you know, be okay with your child, like, yeah, stepping away from traditional career paths and
So my half of my family was doctors. Like, my great grandmother was a midwife. My great grandfather was a doctor. Their two kids were doctors. My grandfather's brother, all of his kids are doctors. All of their kids' kids are doctors. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And they don't, like, they're like, hey, look, man, I know you think it's funny, like, you're going to be singing and stuff, and that's cool, but you need to be a doctor, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, at this point, I'm 32, and there's still a lot of, like, yeah, it's so great when you're young. Like, how long is the young thing going to last?
You know, that's interesting. You know, growing, aging in this business is very unique.
I think,
and maybe in show business too, because there's a certain amount of, there's a certain odd thing that happens I'm seeing, that you do become better and more seasoned and better at what you do as you get older. But the industry we're in is about this energy of youth, you know, is very hard to recall. Like, when you're my age and someone's like, oh, let's do that song from when you were 22. You're like, are you fucking crazy? I don't even know who that guy was that sang that song.
Yeah, that is interesting. Like, the older you get, the better you get at your craft, yet it's kind of emphasized in the youth is more emphasized. I guess it has to do with kind of like bringing something new to the table and all of that.
Yeah. There's also, like, going off the rails and being like Rod Stewart. Like, at one point, Rod Stewart was really badass, you know, and very cool. And then he got old and weird. But there are guys that get old that stay cool, you know.
Yeah.
Johnny Cash always stayed cool.
Yeah. I still think Dylan is really cool.
Dylan's really cool. Like, yeah, are you guys Dylan fans?
Cool. I'm a huge Bob Dylan fan.
Are you? What do you think of this new stuff? That record he put out a month or two ago, or whatever.
I think I just need to come back to it. You know, it's hard. It's, this record was the first time when I was humanized Bob Dylan a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Where it was just like, he's like an older dude that's still making music.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the music, but it's hard to, like, remove that from the context of, like, he is coming from the older generation.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the first time I felt that with him, which I think is a good thing, because I think this is probably his most serious record in a long time.
Yeah.
So to kind of be thinking about him differently after, you know, he's existed for so long is, you know, a testament to what he does. And yeah, he's just, I'll always love everything he does, just in different ways. And this is another one of those things where I think I need some time with it.
Do you guys think that there is a modern version of that guy?
A modern version of Dylan?
Yeah, whatever Dylan, you know, is there a modern Dylan guy? Is it Jason Isbell?
I mean, that's a good one.
Thanks.
I would say no. I think it's, like, comparable. The first guy that comes to mind that I would put in the same, like, breath, who's a contemporary, would be A. Bondi. I don't know if you listen to him at all, but I feel like he doesn't release records at the same clip, but I feel like talent wise, I'm not as big a Dylan guy as you are, Eddie, but I mean, that's just like first thought.
Yeah. I feel like what's unique about him, is I think the initial reaction when you hear that question is to think about other political musicians. And with him, it's just, he's, you know, it's tough to know what to take seriously from him, what yeah. not to, but he's always just said he just writes songs. It's not necessarily like trying to push them in, but I do think, like, I think it's hard to think about that outside the context of genre, but I think there might be some people in hip hop that kind of are taking that,
yeah,
you know, taking music and making a point of saying something with it that's yeah. more than just, like, I feel like the folk tradition now has been reduced to like songs about trees and birds, and I think in hip hop it has more of that, like trying to say something there.
Do you guys, you're right. Do you guys exist in that folk world? Do you know what I'm talking about? Like, what's the Folk Alliance and, like, the Newport Folk Festival? And do you guys live in that world at all?
I mean, honestly, not really, unfortunately. I think we've been, like, slowly kind of shifting back towards, you know, closer to where we started, which was folk music. But I think, you know, some of our earlier stuff doesn't fit there. And I mean, the short answer is not really, but I mean, I have a lot of, I'm a big fan of a lot of those artists that you would find in that scene. So it would be great if we could, you know, weasel our way in there somehow.
Well, to me, there seems to be this movement of also like a new generation, which I would put you guys into, of not the simplified folk thing that you do in like a hotel room at Folk Alliance, but almost more. Have you heard this band from here called The Deer?
No, I haven't.
Oh, they're also very dreamy and kind of quiet as well.
Like D-E-E-R?
Yep, like the animal.
Got it. Okay, check it out.
Like the animal.
yeah. I feel like like, you know, part of the folk tradition was always kind of borrowing from other places. And I feel like there's some part of folk that's, like you say, like acoustic guitar telling these stories, voice and
right
and that. But there's another side of it that I think is pretty interesting. Like, I would consider Bon Iver in that folk world. And A.A. Bondi, I think, started out just more straight ahead and got a little bit more dreamy. But you know, it's just always kind of like there is the backbone of that sound and that tradition, but I think some people are kind of stretching it a little bit. And I guess that happens in all genres where there's like a million qualifiers for folk. There's like rock folk or indie folk or
yeah,
folk, you know, so, yeah.
I have a hard time trying to put music in genres anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what they, and also like people think that singer songwriter is a genre, and that confuses me because that's just a job where you're yeah. like Bob Dylan's a singer songwriter, but also like, you know, so is Stevie Wonder, but they're not anywhere near the same style of music. You know what I mean?
I've never thought of that. That's interesting.
But people say it like it's a style. Like, what kind of music does he play? Oh, singer songwriter. Like, okay.
Yeah. Like, and it's usually like understood what that means.
I mean, technically James Hetfield from Metallica is the singer-songwriter. So whatever that means. So I was going to ask you guys some other stuff about like your past. What are you digging into musically now? Like what are your inspirations? Obviously not the new Dylan album for Eddie.
You know, I feel like this is I hate to say this because I, you know, I'm a big music fan, but honestly, it's been a while since I've been like really digging into a new album. I think it's just maybe because we've been kind of grinding, you know, doing the recording. I've been kind of like, I haven't been listening to as much music. I feel like we've done a lot of podcasts.
yeah.
It goes full circle. Like, I'm sure it'll come back soon enough, but right now I'm kind of in a rut, you know?
Yeah, I feel, I mean, I get into records. There's this new record by this artist named Z Berg. Her dad is that famous producer, Tony Berg, but that record's really good. You guys might like it. And
is that B-E-R-G Berg?
B-E-R-G, yeah. And her first name is Z, like just the letter.
Okay, cool.
But yeah, it all kind of still goes back to Nick Drake, really.
Yeah.
What an incredible song. Also, like, do you ever guys ever just freak out on those string arrangements?
Yeah, I don't, like, it's something that when I was growing up just kind of, like, blended in. It was just like, here's the song, and you listen to the song, and that's it. But now, after working on music and going back to some of the old classics, there's a ton of, like, oh, shit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
There's a lot going on here.
So, wait, you heard Nick Drake growing up?
Yeah, I mean, he was, like, he had that little moment before I was really into music, and so it was kind of
Like in the 90s, because that's when I like when his shit got like reissued.
Yeah. And that's when I was like really getting into out of that classical world and into, you know, more different genres.
Right. So you guys have more videos coming down the line since you're not going to be able to be touring and stuff?
Yeah, we do. We're finishing up a new music video today that we're excited about, and we're going to continue to do the live, you know, the live performance videos.
Yeah,
trying to be creative here with no tour, and find ways to share the new music without being on the road. But yeah, we're working hard. We're doing our best.
Well, good. I wish I could, without preaching bad habits to people, be like, man, if you're in the same state that I was when you first hear this song, Vampires, and then Weeds right after it, you will freak out in the best way possible.
Yeah, that's it's funny because I feel like that type of, like, some of my favorite music comes from, like, I heard it first when I was either hungover or drunk or whatever.
Right.
And, like, it's a special, like, way to be open to hearing things.
Yeah.
I think, like, a big influence for me is Deer Hunter. I don't know if you know that band.
Yeah.
Love that band. Never understood them until I was, like, extremely hungover one morning.
You're like, yeah.
Then it just... it really clicked. And that was something that Deer Hunter was something that Tim had kind of brought up to me a few times, but it took me to get to that point to be like, oh shit, I got to go through everything now.
What's funny is that the way that I responded to your music was emotionally, and the way that you responded to Deer Hunter was probably emotionally as well. And I think that in a hangover state or just opening up whatever it is that makes you a little bit more vulnerable to feeling something, which shouldn't be using substances, but for some reason it can be.
I think that's why the kind of like morning thread that we have going is kind of important. Just like kind of listening to songs when you just wake up.
Yeah.
And I think these songs are all good for that time when you just wake up and hearing it that way.
But, yeah.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Me too, man. Everyone, wake up tomorrow, throw this stuff on your Spotify, and drink up. You guys going to release vinyl or anything with that?
We're talking about it. We're discussing that as we speak. We're thinking about... We're not sure yet, but we're definitely considering it.
All right. I'm sure you guys have a manager, but if you ever need an idea guy that's really excited about your music, just hit me up. Because I am a fan.
Man, really appreciate that.
Yeah, man. I want to thank you guys for doing the show. And Some Still Morning comes out on September 18th, but you can get out and hear the other songs and see the video for Vampire and see that beautiful performance video for Sunday Best. Is there anything that I'm leaving out? I'm sure there's a lot, but I really do like you guys. I hope we stay in touch. And when touring happens again, if you ever hear I'd love to meet you and sit down and talk to you in real life and see your show and stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Austin is one of our favorite cities to be in, so
thank you.
Would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Yeah, nice to meet you, Eddie. Tim, nice to meet you.
Yeah, thank you again. Take care.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Find me in the weeds, find me in the dark, diving underneath, fighting off the sharks, find me still loving you.
That is Handsome Ghost, man. What an amazing band. I suggest you get out there and listen to them immediately. Their album, Some Still Morning, dropping September 18th. I want to thank Tim and Eddie for coming on the show and talking to me, man. I'll put links to all their stuff in the text of this podcast. Check out their video for their song Vampires, which is out now. Fantastic song. Anyway, thank you so much for listening to the show. I hope you have a great day, whatever it is you're doing. Don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find podcasts, be it Spotify, Apple Podcast, TuneIn, Overcast, Stitcher, wherever it is, man. New shows all the time. Plus, you guys checking out the From the Vault series where I go back, pull out an old episode, polish it up, and re-put it out for you, or whatever, re-release it for you. That was a really terrible way to say it. Anyway, gang, Handsome Ghost, great band. Check them out. I want to thank Eddie and Tim once again for coming on the show. Get out there. Their record, Some Still Morning, September 18th. Do it. Let's get down.
Some quiet stranger who talks like me, and if for a moment I am crossing your mind, I hope it lingers. Find me in the weeds, find me in the dark, diving underneath, fighting off the sharks, find me still loving you the best that I can. Find me in the wrong, find me in the right, find me in the calm in the middle of the night, find me still loving you the best that I can. Find me still loving you the best that I can. Find me still loving you the best that I can.